High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
A very good morning. How are you?
Howard Bokito, I'm glad that you let Zanati finish what she had to say while you were interrupting her. The best way to pronounce Ibrahimovic is Ibra, because there are people like you who can't pronounce his name. So just say Ibra and then we all know who you're talking about.
There actually, we go.
I was surprised to hear that he was one of them. I would also have said Messi, actually.
Yeah.
I would have gone with David Zimmerman. I think he said Ronaldo.
No. David Zimmerman was the only one that actually got it right. He said,
I got it right.
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. No, he said Ronaldo and Ibra.
And Ibra, okay.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Well done.
Yeah,
I would never have thought.
Certainly wouldn't have, but then I don't think about these things at all. Right, so just let's take a look at what is happening in Israel. So Israel is beginning to open for business.
Israel is beginning to open for business, but in the course of opening for business, the government announced yesterday that we are going to be closing down again next week for the Yom HaZikaron, the Memorial Day that we have for IDF soldiers and victims of terror, and for Yom HaTzimut, Independence Day, which happen one day after the other next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. Lockdown in Israel to prevent people from getting together. These are really traditionally days when a lot of people get together. There will be large gatherings of people. Traditionally, people, first of all, gather at cemeteries, and particularly military cemeteries, on the Memorial Day for victims of our wars, victims of terror, soldiers who've fallen in the defense of Israel. It's very traditional to have memorial ceremonies at all of the military cemeteries. This year, there will not be memorial cemeteries taking place with audience at all, and this has created quite a lot of controversy amongst the bereaved families who would normally go along to the cemetery to remember their loved one who fell either in the defense of Israel or as a result of a terror activity. And so this has resulted in some negotiation going on between members of government and the IDF and the organization that represents the bereaved families to see how this can be resolved, because there was a threat that the bereaved families would simply set upon the cemeteries in a contradiction of the government rules to allow them to express themselves. But now I think some sort of a compromise has been reached, which will allow the bereaved families to visit those cemeteries over the course of the next week, using social distancing at the same time. So it will be very coordinated. People will come along. There will be the spaces required, given as part of the social distancing rules that we've been following. And they will be allowed to visit the cemeteries between now and the course of next week, when Memorial Day will actually take place. And of course, then Yom HaTzimut, Independence Day, will kind of be an online Independence Day once again. There will be no fireworks. The traditional Air Force flyby will not be taking place in its usual format this year. They've decided to do a flyover over the hospitals in order to thank the medical staff who have been
amazing,
operating in those
hospitals.
I'm loving
this gratitude that we're seeing in Israel and all around the world is something so spectacular.
It absolutely is, and I think it's really has a place. I think it's very justified, the way in which the medical teams not only have been working all hours, but have put themselves literally in the line of a fire, literally, you know, in dangers, in harm's way, to treat people has been unbelievable. And certainly Israeli hospitals have proven themselves over and over and over again. We'll talk a little bit about where we're at with Corona in general, but the Israeli hospitals certainly have proven themselves. So lockdown for Yom HaTzimut, unfortunately. And, you know, it would be traditional for people also to gather. The municipalities put on concerts in each and every town and city across Israel with all kinds of celebrations. All of that now will not take place because, of course, there is a fear of people getting together in large crowds. There is still a fear, even though Israel is beginning to open up for business, but there is still a fear. And noticeably, the schools still remain an unanswered question. There is theoretically some distance learning going on with children and their teachers. The distance learning thing doesn't seem to be working particularly well. There have been a lot of discussions and arguments between the teachers union and the Ministry of Education and parents about exactly what should be done in order to return children to school. There is more pressure on primary school children and kindergarten children for them to return to school to allow their parents as well to get back to work. But at the moment, there are no signs of schools returning. And of course, this also means what will happen to the time that's been lost the last couple of months where the schools have not operated. There's been some discussion about, giving that time back during the summer holiday period instead of having the usual summer holiday to have school instead in order to make up the time. That also hasn't been agreed. So there's a lot of disagreement at the moment on the education front between teachers and parents and the Ministry of Education and the unions about exactly how all of this should be dealt with. And there is no doubt that there's going to be still a lot of argument about that. And also the other thing, the other lockdown that's taking place is for Israel's Muslim citizens who will start their fasting month of Ramadan.
Of course,
starts over the weekend.
Tomorrow evening, I think
with,
it is.
Mm. With the start of our month of Iyar, it also starts their month of Ramadan. They also follow the lunar calendar as we do. And so Ramadan begins, and it's very traditional during the month of Ramadan to have what they call iftar. Iftar is the meal that they have at the end of the day. They fast during daytime hours, and when the sun goes down, it's iftar. And iftar is very traditionally a time that they would get together in groups and families to be invited out by friends. It's very much a celebration and a very much a social event. The Prime Minister stood up on TV and said, no iftar. Effectively, iftar is with your nuclear family only. Now, it's all fine and well to say for the Seder night with your nuclear family only.
Yeah,
that's
but
one
this is
night,
a month.
Right?
Yeah.
Iftar is a month, is a month of dinners. And so I think it's going to be enormously difficult to police all of that. But unfortunately, our police are going to be very much challenged. They're closing all the military cemeteries for next week for Yom HaZikaron. Nobody will allow to go near. They will also have to be policing the iftar dinners to make sure that people are not transgressing the rules of social distancing and transgressing the shutdown. While at the same time, there is this attempt to open things up a little bit, you know, a little bit of loosening in terms of people going back to work, a few shops are opening, things like that. So there is a certain loosening up. And, you know, if we have a look at the numbers, then I think the numbers do really support that particular view, because we do see a reduction in the number of people who are being diagnosed and the number of people who are actually ill and in hospital at the moment and being intubated. Unfortunately, we're still seeing people dying. 184 people in total have died in Israel. The most recent deaths have been quite heart-wrenching for many people, because we're now seeing some of the senior rabbis, heads of yeshiva, people with some community standing, especially from Bnei Brak and from Jerusalem and places like that. We've seen quite a number of those people dying, leaving large families behind. And of course, there is heartbreak, because there is certainly a view in some areas that if some of those people had adhered to the social distancing rules from the outset when they were laid down, then this particular wave that we're seeing of deaths now may have been avoided. It's not the time right now to think about that. It's rather the time to comfort the bereaved families and, of course, the bereaved yeshiva students, many of whom have lost their senior rabbis, their leaders, their people who they look up to. And it's a very, very sad situation for all of those. So unfortunately, still people dying, some younger people, one man in his 40s, older people. There was a person of 100 years old who died. So there's quite a mix of people, not all of them necessarily with background illnesses having come into this virus. So unfortunately, it's quite indiscriminate in terms of the way that it's affecting people. And almost 14,000 cases now of people who've been infected with the coronavirus. Also, again, an increase of a few hundred each day. The numbers are getting slightly smaller, and we're very, very grateful for that. And of course, we hope that this slight loosening of the situation is not going to impact that. And of course, everybody's waiting the kind of 2-week cycle that is traditional with this virus to make sure that this slight loosening of the rules is not going to create some sort of an increase again in 2 weeks' time of those people being diagnosed. So the good news, of course, is that 4,500 people have already recovered from the virus. Israel is reported to be importing quite a large number of these tests for antibodies, and the health ministry has said they're going to be importing something like 2.4 million antibody tests to try to check who, in fact, is immune. There is a belief that if you have these antibodies, that you are effectively immune, and therefore you might get a slightly different status in terms of exposing yourself to the possibility of being in contact with other people who may have the virus. So that's really the update as we have it right now. Corona continues to dominate everything that we think, everything that we do, everything that we hear in the news. Except, of course, for the fact that, unfortunately, there was this terror attack that's been perpetrated on the outskirts of Jerusalem this morning. So some things are still kind of the same as they were from the period before the coronavirus. We understand that a border policeman has been left moderately injured after somebody tried to drive into him and then jumped out and tried to stab him on the outskirts of Jerusalem at one of the checkpoints in the Abu Dis area. We understand that the terrorist involved has actually been neutralized. This is the term that's being used in the press now to describe exactly what's happened. And apparently the soldier himself is considered to be in moderate condition, so he's getting medical treatment. And I suppose we will hear more about that in due course. There are reports that explosive devices were found at the scene of the attack. And so, you know, this is all just a developing story because it just happened literally about an hour ago. Where all of this happened. So we obviously will wait to hear a little bit more about that
story. I saw as well that Times of Israel was reporting this morning that extremist Haredim in Beit Shemesh don yellow stars to protest the synagogue ban. This is just a terrible, I know that it's only a small segment of a very large community, but wow, this must cause terrible ill feeling in Israel.
It does cause ill feeling, and it goes more than that, because there was even an incident yesterday in Mea Shearim where IDF soldiers have been deployed to distribute food parcels to people who are considered to be in need of these things because they, for whatever reason, have disabilities or they're unable to get out because of the lockdown. Mm. And so the soldiers have been deployed to go and help these people, and those soldiers unfortunately came under attack. Rocks were thrown at them and at the vehicles that they were using that were really doing good for the community. And yet the moment somebody in an IDF soldier is seen in the neighborhood, then it somehow raises a red flag. And we saw that as well in Beit Shemesh, where people are really protesting. At the moment, the rules about getting together to pray are that up to 19 people now can get together to pray in a minyan as long as the prayer service is held outdoors. And as long as rules of social distancing are being adhered to. So that's the current rule. So it is potentially possible to get together in a group of 10 or more people to pray. But at the moment, the shuls are not being opened. And therefore, as a general minyanim, the general prayer services are not being renewed, because really this particular restriction is a little onerous and not possible to adhere to in a meaningful way. So I think that that's really where some of the bad feeling comes from. But when you see the senior rabbis who are now dying as a result of not having adhered to social distancing, you would like to think that the people in Beit Shemesh would say, hang on a second, we've learned a lesson, guys. There was some logic to this, and we're going to continue to adhere to it.
Absolutely right. It is 8:01. Anthony Rauch, thank you as always for the Israel Report. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place.